Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust over 40 years of experience providing innovative pension solutions. Zurich Corporate Pensions. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Now, the Junior Minister for Special Education, Josepha Madigan, met with the National Council for Special Education this afternoon to discuss the shortage of school places for pupils with additional needs. The meeting follows the apology from the Taoiseach to the Milne family for failing to provide their children with the education they need. John Carney is CEO of the NCSE. He was in the meeting with the minister this afternoon and he joins us now on the line. You're welcome, John, to the programme this evening. Can you talk us through what was discussed at the meeting?
Good afternoon, Sarah, and delighted to be joining you. I would be meeting with the ministers regularly in relation to special education since I've taken up my post, and would admit to this evening as well into the various aspects of current provision. Obviously, looking at solutions with a view to addressing the backlog of placements that need to be addressed over the next couple of months. Mm.
So the meeting today, I know, was called because of this particularly pressing issue in terms of enrolments. And what was decided at the meeting?
Well, there's been regular meetings with the minister in relation to progress on delivery of special classes, and significant progress has been made this year as well, building on the success from last year of 300 special classes, catering for over 1,800 placements being delivered last year. Similar, again, in line with need that's being picked up nationally, over 290 special classes being delivered this year, catering for over 1,750 pupils. Obviously, we're getting to the pinch points and the obvious pinch points in relation to Dublin, and the minister's very eager. And in her own words, that one student out of an appropriate special class placement is one student too many. And it's with a view to addressing the backlog in relation to pinch points that we're now facing in Dublin at the moment.
Okay. How many children with disabilities nationally are without a school place?
It's an ongoing fluid situation. Currently, we'd be roughly making it about 130 pupils. That can fluctuate mildly, but I'm very confident on the figures that I have to hand at the moment. It's roughly about 130.
130 in the whole country?
Yes.
Okay, because I think The Independent is reporting today that in Dublin alone there's 130. There's 53 children with the most complex needs still seeking admission to a special school, another 80 in Dublin waiting for a place in a special class in a mainstream school.
Yeah, the Dublin at the moment, as you correctly alluded to there, is with about 130. There would be individual situations around the country, but again, with local arrangements, we're very confident that we'll accommodate any pressing concerns that arise in relation to outstanding enrolments.
But do we have a figure for how many children with disabilities nationally are without a school place? Because it's obviously higher than 130 if there's 130 just in Dublin.
Well, I'd be making about 160, roughly, that there's 30 situations that we're working through in individual enrollment considerations around the country. But again, we're very confident that we'll be accommodating those.
Okay. And when you say you'd be making it at 160, I know there's been questions raised about what sort of a database is actually available, or whether there even is a database nationwide as to how many children
There is a very comprehensive database available that we'll be working on. You see, parental choice comes into play this as well, and both the NCSE, the department, and the individual schools very much acknowledge and respect parental choice, and that is a factor as well in terms of children changing from one enrolment in a class to another. And it's a fluid, fluctuating arrangement. But again, when anomalies arise nationally, as they do, from time to time, again with local arrangements and working with the department and with the school management bodies and parents themselves, solutions are found to situations that arise.
So Adam Harris from the As I Am, the charity, has called on the minister to direct yourselves, the NCSE, to establish a national database so that you can figure out the true scale of the problem of school place shortages. Are you saying there already is a national database?
Yeah, we would, again, from information that's coming to hand in terms of the knowledge that we have on the ground, yeah, we would have a comprehensive overview in terms of enrollment deficits and anomalies that arise from time to time.
So you don't need one? You don't think you need to establish a national database?
Well, we have our own reporting framework as such, and that very much keeps us in line in terms of addressing the pinch points that arises.
SIM also estimates that up to 26% of families of children with autism, and now that's just autism, not other disabilities, do not have an appropriate school place. Do you have any reason to believe that's not correct?
Sorry, what's that statistic you're quoting there?
This is SIM, the charity that I just mentioned, and they estimate that up to 26% of families of children with autism do not have an appropriate school place.
Yeah, I suppose the ultimate aim for us long term is that every school in the country would be having special class placements. We're working towards that. The department's long term strategy is to deliver comprehensive building facilities to accommodate that. So they are anomalies in terms of families and children travelling outside their catchment area.
Yeah.
And again, we're working progressively with a view to addressing that.
Sorry, John. I'm trying to get to the scale of the problem here again. You know, I asked you initially how many children nationally don't have a school place. You told me 130, and then you went to 160.
Yeah.
Now I'm asking you if it's correct that up to 20% of families of children with autism do not have an appropriate school place. Because if that is correct, that's much bigger than an anomaly. That's one in four children with autism in this country not having an appropriate school place.
See, it's appropriate in the sense that, like, obviously we want every student with autism to and special needs that they can enrol in a school in their local catchment area. That's not, we're falling short of that at the moment, but ultimately that's what we're working towards.
Okay, so when you say the 130 children that don't have a school place, there may be very many other children that do have a school place, but it could be 200 kilometres away, for example. It might not be in their catchment area.
It may not be in their catchment area, and obviously that's a source of concern to us. Ultimately, we're working progressively in addressing the issue. In essence, first finding a placement for the children and for their families, and ultimately working towards that is in the local school community area.
So does your database tell you how many children with disabilities do not have appropriate school place in their catchment area in this country?
We haven't. That information within our current reporting framework isn't there at the moment.
Because that is important, isn't it? Because we heard in the Dáil, just to give people a sense of when we talk about catchment area, how big a deal that can mean for families, or what an imposition that can mean for families who are already in a very difficult situation. Dennis Nocton raised this in the Dáil this week, and he was talking about 11 children with disabilities in Athlone and County Roscommon. Now, they're going from primary school next month, and at the moment, they're being offered places in Longford and Galway. Now, he's estimated that of the 11 of them, they're going to be travelling 4,500 kilometres a week just to go to school.
Yeah, again, that's very much a concern for us. And ultimately, what we're working towards is that every child in their local community area can attend the school that's nearest to them as such. Our first priority is ultimately a school placement, but then getting a placement in their local catchment area. And we're working with all local schools with a view to developing that capacity nationally within the system.
But just to be clear, we don't know at the moment how many children are in the situation such as that has been outlined by Dennis Nocton in Athlone and South Roscommon. How many other children in the country may have to travel, you know, hundreds of kilometres a week to go to school?
Well, we're not...
Okay.
In terms of hundreds of kilometres, we're not exactly aware of that. We're certainly aware of students that are travelling further than you would like them to be travelling.
Right.
But again, working with schools, trying to address that.
Okay. You see, because part of the problem there, of course, is we heard from the Milne family on Primetime earlier this week that they're struggling to pay for petrol, you know?
Of course.
You do, for example, manage to find them place in a special school, but that special school happens to be 60 kilometres away, for example, that's going to be very problematic for them because they can't afford that.
Of course, we're aware of the plight of families. And again, Sarah, it's ultimately our ambition and that of the departments.
Okay,
let's
talk about the ambition, because in a statement on yesterday evening, the Minister of State for Special Education, Josepha Madigan, pledged to ensure that every child with special educational needs had access to a school place. When do you expect that'll be delivered, that promise?
Well, again, we're coming very close to it in the sense that with the various enrolment considerations, Dublin being a black and pinch point at the moment in terms of addressing that. But again, we're working with all partners with a view to trying to find a novel solutions to addressing that deficit as quickly as possible. And then moving on to the wider issues that you've remarked in terms of providing a place for students in their local community area.
Okay, so but if we just stick with that lower number of the 160 students across the country, children with disabilities who don't have a school place at the moment, can we take it that very many of those won't have a school place come September?
We're working progressively with a view to ensuring as much as possible that they will have school place for September. This is an intricate process. It takes a lot of work and engagement with school partners, obviously, to deliver on that. But that's what we're earnestly working through that. But that must be borne in mind in terms of the rate of delivery. The rate of delivery for the last 2 years in particular has been phenomenal in terms of 300 special classes being opened on both years and over 3,500 placements being secured.
And yet here we are, you know, with, for example, the Milne family, and I'm sure very many like them, who haven't been able for years to find places for their children to go to school. How did we get to this point, John?
Because I suppose there's a context to this. I'm 2 months in the job. So I'm
I understand that.
Come to terms with it.
Yes.
And again, one child, like the wonderful family we saw on Tuesday night, One child is a child too many. And I suppose we are where we are, and we must...
Yes, so that's what I want to ask you about, actually. How did we get to here? Because As I Am charity, Adam Harris again, saying that in the last couple of years, much of the NCSE's focus has been on moving away from a policy of special classes and special schools, even though the education system was not equipped to meet children's needs. He said that has been a period of lost time and lost opportunity.
Well, the practice on the ground now would be lied at, because there's been, in the last decade alone, there's been close nearly 500% of an increase in terms of delivery of special classes. In terms of addressing and providing local need. And again, the ambition, long-term again, is that there is placement in local schools for all children with special education needs in this country.
So when I ask you, how did we get to here, is it just you can't keep up? It's not lack of planning?
Well,
it's not a failed policy of moving away from special classes and special schools?
Well, we didn't. I suppose the practice belies the fact that we moved away from it. When you look at again, that over 500% increase in terms of delivery of special class places in this country in the last decade, it must be mentioned then as well, there's been phenomenal demographics growth in terms of post-primary provision and primary provision in this country in the last couple of years as well. The diagnosis has increased spectacularly as well, in the sense the 0.6 was the prevalence indication for autism in 2011. Now, current trend at the moment is 1.55, so it has increased almost threefold, and it's due to continue to increase. So it's very much a case of playing catch-up, but we are seeing an end point in end, and it's again working collaboratively with all schools, all management bodies, with a view to delivering ultimately on what we want to achieve for this country.
Okay, before I let you go, can I ask you specifically then about the Milne family? We were speaking to Gillian Milne on the programme yesterday, and though she welcomed the Taoiseach's apology to her and her family, she said it was also too little too late. They're still looking to September with no school place at the moment. Now, I know she's due to meet the Minister sometime over the next week or so. The Minister has called her to discuss that. What can be done practically for them? And do you think there's a realistic chance that their two little boys, Ryan and Kyle, will be in school come September?
Well, as I mentioned to you, Sarah, I'm 2 months in the job. Anyone who saw that programme on Tuesday night couldn't but be moved and touched by the family's challenge in terms of securing a proper placement for their children. Again, like all concerned, and particularly led by our minister, I will be doing everything possible with a view to securing the placement that both Ryan and Kyle actually ultimately deserve.
And would you be optimistic, John, that can be done by September?
I'll be aiming to do it as soon as possible, and we'll be trying every novel solution with a view to delivering on that.
All right, John Carney, thank you very much for joining us this evening. That's John Carney, CEO of the NCSE, and we're going to be returning to the story later on Drive Time. We'll be getting reaction to that interview from Inclusion Ireland. Let us know what you think to 51551. Inclusion Ireland, the advocacy group for people with intellectual disabilities, have called for every child to have the right to go to their local school alongside their siblings and peers, and say it's unacceptable that this is not the reality for many children. Well, earlier we spoke to John Carney, who's the CEO of the National Council for Special Education, and I asked him how many children are without a school place nationally.
It's an ongoing fluid situation. Currently, we'd be roughly making it about 130 pupils. That can fluctuate mildly, but I'm very confident on the figures that I have to hand at the moment. It's roughly about 130.
Okay, because I think The Independent is reporting today that in Dublin alone there's 130. There's 53 children with the most complex needs still seeking admission to a special school, another 80 in Dublin waiting for a place in a special class in a mainstream school.
Yeah, the Dublin at the moment, as you correctly alluded to there, is with about 130. There would be individual situations around the country, but again, with local arrangements, we're very confident that we'll accommodate any pressing concerns that arise in relation to outstanding enrolments.
But do we have a figure for how many children with disabilities nationally are without a school place? Because it's obviously higher than 130 if there's 130 just in Dublin.
Well, I'd be making about 160, roughly, that there's 30 situations that we're working through in individual enrolment considerations around the country.
We're joined now by Dervin McDonagh, who is the CEO of Inclusion Ireland, and you're welcome, Dervin, to the programme this evening. Do you think the records that we have, or that the National Council for Special Education has, are accurate enough to plan for provision of places for children with disabilities?
Well, clearly there's a major issue for children in terms of getting places in their local schools. And look, we can see some of the challenges that are arising for children going into national schools, because obviously some children are waiting on waiting lists for assessment, waiting for diagnosis, and that is contributing, I suppose, to the difficulties of planning for children going into national schools. However, we can see no conceivable excuse for children moving from national school to secondary school, because disabled children are in national school for 8 years. We can't understand how that there isn't a more coherent plan for children transitioning from national school into secondary school. And that plan needs to start much earlier. We're hearing from families on the ground at the moment who have no idea where their children will be going in September, and that is simply unacceptable. We know what the needs are, we know what the support needs of the children are, and we need to plan better and do better.
John Carney, when I asked him about the database and to what exactly the database covered, he seemed quite confident himself that they had the information they needed. Now, I know that, as I am, the autism charity is saying there should be a national database. They're calling for better data gathering. Is that something that we need to do in order to plan better?
100%. We need to know exactly how many children need to be supported in national schools and exactly how many children need support in secondary schools. As I said, it should be much easier to plan for children going into secondary schools, because their needs and their support needs have already been identified throughout national school. But we need to plan earlier for the children going into national school. And that involves, I suppose, health, education and social care working really closely hand in hand to make that transition and planning better for children. I spoke to a school only today who told me that last year they only heard on the 16th of June what children would be attending their school in September, children with additional educational needs. That's just not good enough. And children need time to transition, their families need time to plan, and it's just simply unacceptable. So absolutely we agree, and we would call for a better data gathering, better planning for children, and that's absolutely required at this stage.
We got a text earlier from someone who says she's a mother of a child with special educational needs, and this person says, I see the issue as a lack of respect for the rights of people with disabilities and the lack of interest and knowledge of what true inclusion is about. It's about small-minded thinking and thinking within a very small box at the moment, says Anna. Now, I know you're calling for a national conversation about exactly what it is that inclusive education means.
That's exactly it. And we're hoping that that conversation will be led by disabled people who have gone through the system themselves and who know the solutions for how to make it better. We are going to have that conversation in the autumn time, and we'll be releasing details around it soon. But yes, we need a total rethink. So hand in hand with immediate actions for those children right now who need to get a placement for this September and whose families need to be reassured around that. And there are immediate actions that can be taken. The Minister did announce that she is going to invoke that part of the legislation which compels schools to offer children places in with additional educational needs in their schools. So we welcome that. That needs to happen immediately. But there also has to be a rethink about what inclusive education is all about. It's only the first step on the ladder to get your place in your local school. It's what happens after that that makes inclusion really work for children. So we need to think about the system utterly changing, radical change within it. It shouldn't be children having to fit into the system. The children are fine. It is the system that needs to change to support them. So we've outlined some of the three components as we see it to real inclusive education. One is the kind of leadership within schools, and that belief, as that family member who texted you today, that belief in the value of children, the value of diversity, and that actually inclusive education is good for every child, not just children with additional educational needs. So that has to be there at its core. Secondly, we need the resources within schools, and we do recognise that some schools have more resources than others, and that's not right. So there needs to be within schools multidisciplinary teams to support children. Teachers need to be trained and informed about trauma, about supporting children who are distressed, supporting children to be included meaningfully. All of that needs to be in place too. And the third bit is around accessibility and making sure that schools have universal design principles. So that means spaces and places so that children can be themselves, can flourish and thrive. They can be in the mainstream class when they need to be. They can have space to themselves when they want to be. And we really need to work towards that vision for inclusive education, hand in hand with the immediate actions right now.
All right, Dervin McDonagh, thank you as always for joining us in the programme this evening. That's Dervin McDonagh, CEO of Inclusion Ireland.